I want to thank Lee for being willing to have this in-depth Bible study. Appreciate his, I guess you could call it courage, for being willing to defend what he believes. I mean, the easy thing to do is just say no to an opportunity like this. And I want to thank this church for being willing to host. You've been a nice host, and we appreciate it. Got a comfortable facility here for us to have this discussion. I did my best to write down some of the things that Lee said in the way he said them. Toward the beginning of the speech, he said, Paul never used the word that they now translate as homosexual. But then how do you explain, if that's true, if Paul never used the Greek word that they now translate as homosexual, how do you explain all these translations for this Greek word, arsenokleitos, as being translated homosexual? Remember, the New American Standard translates this Greek word, which is condemned, as homosexuals. Sodomites in the New King James Version. And you made some comments about that, and we'll talk about that later in the speech. Simple English Version, homosexuals. Green's Interlinear, homosexuals. The New Testament translated from the Latin Vulgate, sodomites. New Berkeley Version in Modern English, partakers in homosexuality. The Amplified New Testament, those who partake in homosexuality. The New Testament, Clyst and Lilly, homosexualists. Charles B. Williams, men who practice sodomy. And then the definitions for the word from the people who are expert Greek scholars. Not just from me, because I don't know Greek that well. These are guys who studied and taught, for example, at Harvard Divinity School a long time ago in the 1800s, defining the word, these words. One who lies with a male is with a female, a sodomite. Arden Gingrich, a male homosexual, pederast, sodomite. Strongest sodomite. Wygram Green, a male homosexual, or sodomite. Now, Lee's comment was that Paul never used the word that they now translate as homosexual. Yep, that's not true. That comment's not true. Here's the word. Paul used it, the Greek word. It's at the top. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. And it is translated homosexual in the newer versions of the thing. Now, Lee pointed out, he went through all those translations of some of these verses. He started out, and I thought it was kind of neat, real old ones with the old English and things. He went through history. And I agree with every one of those translations. They're all correct, as far as I can tell. I didn't see a single mistranslation there. All you did is point out what both of you have already agreed, admitted. The word homosexual was not coined in 1611 in the Old King James Version. That word did not exist. And so they translated other ways, but they still, many cases, you could tell it was somehow homosexual. So the word was coined, according to Lee, in the 1880s. And then you see it probably wasn't very, you said it was clinical then, maybe only doctors or psychologists were using it then. But it gradually came into our language. Now, I'm 45 years old. I don't really remember it ever hearing about that word until I was 10 or 12 years old. So it really didn't come into popular use until probably 30, 40 years ago. And that explains why you never see the word homosexual in these old translations. First of all, most of those times, ones before 1880, the word didn't exist. Then after that, it wasn't in popular use, you see. It didn't. There was nothing against my position in any of those translations. But when you get to the new translations, like the New King James Version or the New American Standard Version, many years after the word has come into being, they will translate this Greek word homosexual. And the reason is that's what the Greek word meant. And then Lee pointed out that, and he's reflecting upon my argument from Leviticus 18 and 20. He's saying, well, you guys eat pork. You wear blended cloth. My wife calls it blended when you mix the cloth together. Other things that are condemned in the Old Testament. That's why I mentioned at the very beginning of my first speech that we agree with you guys 100% that the Old Testament is no longer binding today. And I said, but I want you to look at what the Old Testament says in Leviticus, even though it's not binding today, then I'm going to take you to the New Testament. And there are two things I want to say about that further. Since he brought that up again, that we're not bound by the Old Testament law. If we were, we couldn't eat pork. We couldn't wear blended cloth. And that is, okay, that's true. We're not bound by the Old Testament law. There's two points I want to make, though. You remember my chart saying that homosexuality was condemned in the same breath as bestiality, having sex with an animal? Does that mean, Lee, and I don't mean for you to answer right now, but in your speech, if you find the time, does that mean, Lee, then, that having sexual relations with an animal was condemned in the Old Testament, but it's not condemned in the New, so it's okay. Because that's just Old Testament law, therefore the sex with the animal, that was just the Old Testament law, therefore it's like eating pork or wearing blended clothing, cloth in your clothing. therefore it's not condemned today? Is that what this is talking about? Is adultery mentioned in that chapter? Not condemned today, not wrong today, because it was only part of the Levitical ceremonial law that's not binding today, like the eating of pork and things like that? Is that what you meant by that, Lee? One other point. We agree that we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. But it is, as I mentioned, the MCC position that homosexuals are born that way and they can't help that behavior. Correct? Now, if that's true, then it could not have been a sin even under the Old Testament. Do you see that? Because if it's really true they're born that way and they can't help it, then it could never have been a sin even in the history of the world. Eating pork was a sin for the Jews during that time. It's no longer a sin. The law has changed, Hebrews 7, verse 12. But if something, you're born that way and you can't help it, then it must never have been a sin. God would never make something you can't help a sin. Yet if we're admitting that Leviticus, it was a sin to be homosexual, but that was just part of the old law, like eating pork, and it's not wrong today, then that contradicts the position that you're born that way, because those Israelites, what about them if they were born homosexuals? Did they have to obey Leviticus 18? Either they weren't born that way, or if they were born that way, they had to stop the practice anyway. If they were, and that's the same as true today. I don't believe that homosexuals are born that way, but if they were, they still would have to stop the practice. Because we admit the Israelites had to stop it, even under the Old Testament. Hold my time there, Billy. Okay. Hold it just for a moment. Okay. What I ask for is just like we're going to respect Lee and his when he's speaking, I ask for you to show respect when I'm speaking. The only kind thing to do is when somebody's speaking is to, even if you don't agree with them, show them the proper respect and listen to them. And that's what we're doing with the lady. We don't agree with him, but we're showing him proper respect. And so I would ask, if you would, please do that. Okay, start the time back. Now let's talk about this word, Malakoi. It is true this word, just like any other word, Lee, has different meanings. For example, our word cool. But it used to mean, Kent and I were about the same age, so he knows this. When we were little, say before 8 or 10 years old, it referred to, well, it wasn't hot. You know, it was cool to the touch, the temperature. But soon, and probably was popularized with the show Happy Days and the Fonz, cool meant, well, that guy's, he knows it would be easy for him to get a date. You know, that kind of cool. Totally different word. I mean, the same word, but totally different meaning. So, yeah, Greek words are the same way. All English words have different meanings. Yes, this word, malakoi, would refer to soft, and it could be used to refer to soft clothing. But when it's talking about people, and it's talking about soft people, it is talking about soft morally, but it's in the sense that they're soft. As I mentioned, when you have the homosexual relationship, you have the one that takes the male role, one that takes the feminine role. Okay? The one that is, so soft is used to refer to the one that takes the feminine role. He's soft in the sense of he takes the more feminine role, even though he's a man, in the homosexual relationship. And that's why it can use this word to refer to him. Soft is because he takes that feminine role. So it can refer to soft clothing or soft person. So I'm going to soft person in this case, in the verses that we're talking about, is talking about a homosexual. Now, did I just make this up? No. I didn't make this up. This is the way the word is defined by the Greek scholars, the one who's studied Greek, has a full-time job their whole life, and teach Greek at major universities, like Harvard. This is what they say about the word. John Stott said it meant male who played the passive role in homosexual intercourse, the one who takes the feminine, more feminine role. Arden Gingrich, you know, they actually didn't define the words if I understand it. They translated a German dictionary, Bauer's lexicon. So the Bauer's Anchor lexicon, according to Wikipedia, you can look it up on the internet, is among the most highly respected dictionaries of biblical Greek. And they define this word effeminate, especially of catamites, men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. It's the ones taking the feminine role. Thayer, who's the one that's quoted most often by people who are trying to study the Bible, he's the most famous, the most respected. He's the one that taught at Harvard in the late 1800s. He defined the word effeminate of a catamite, a male who submits his body to a natural lewdness. So So we have these other definitions that we've already been through. Then arsenopaeus is the one, the Greek word used refers to the one who took more of the male role in the homosexual relationship. We've already been through all these translations and these definitions. But these are the scholars, the ones who know what the Greek word means. You can't just take Lee's word for it or my word for it. These are the ones that define the words. Okay? Let's everybody turn to Ezekiel 16. Lee made the argument that the only way we know what Sodom did wrong was from Ezekiel 16. And let's look at 49 and 50. Now, there are many things that Sodom did wrong. I agree with Lee that there was pride, fullness of bread, Ezekiel 16, 49, abundance of idleness. They were haughty, verse 50. And then it says, verse 50, and committed abomination. It's kind of like that quote I had where you have this idolatrous culture and it leads to spiritual bankruptcy and that leads to homosexuality. Our culture is kind of like that. It's the same way in Sodom. Yeah, they had all these other sins and it led to this abomination. What would this abomination be? Well, what did we read about in Leviticus 18 and 20? What did we read about? And so, he says it's an abomination when a man lies with another man. Now let's go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19, and look and see if we can't tell what the problem is. It is true that these were two angels, the visitors, but they came in the form of men to the people of Sodom. They thought they were men. Now notice what Genesis 19 verse 5 said. And they called Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That's not talking about having a conversation with them. That's the old King James way of saying have a know them sexually. Like we say sleep with a woman. It's a euphemism for having sexual relations. Know them, in many cases, the King James is their euphemism for that. This is talking about these people in Sodom thought these were two men and they asked, bring them out so we may know them, have sexual relations with them. That's why they were condemned. Remember what we read in Jude verse 7? Was it just inhospitality or not being willing to share their food? No, it says they committed fornication and went after strange flesh. So the Bible helps us to see that homosexuality is a major reason that Sodom was destroyed. Let's look back at Leviticus 18. Lee and I can talk and talk and talk. And he's probably a better communicator than I am. So he can win out if you're talking about who's communicating the best. But when you go back and just look at the Bible verses and what do they say? They're very plain and clear. Leviticus 18:20, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And then as we said, in the very next breath, in both of these places, it says, don't lie with a man as you would with a woman. Neither should you lie with an animal, a beast. They're put in the same category. So if you believe that having sexual relations with an animal is wrong, and I think you do, then you should believe that homosexuality is wrong, is the point I'm making. And then Romans 1, let's read that again, because what does the Bible, we agree this is God's Word, and it's our guide to how Christians should live. What does the guide that comes from God actually say? Just what does it say, without trying to get around it? It says, wherefore God also gave them up unto to uncleanness, through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Talking about lesbianism. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. We call that being gay. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meek. Now here's what the terms the Bible uses to refer to this sin or practice of homosexuality. Uncleanness. Does that sound like it's right? No. Dishonor. Vile. Change the natural use against nature. Leaving the natural use. Unseemly. Error. Now I ask you, I say this with love, and I say it out of concern for your soul and my soul. what is the verse actually saying? All arguments aside, all verbal contest, just don't worry about that. Let's just look what the verse says. What does it say? Isn't the Bible pretty clear on this issue? It doesn't seem to me to be vague at all. It condemns in no uncertain terms in the Old Testament and the New Testament the sin of homosexuality. Now, seeing that it is a sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. That means if we want to be saved, as we mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, we're going to have to stop this sin. If there's people in the churches of Christ committing adultery because they're in marriages after they've been divorced and remarried, not fornication, then that's wrong too. And they're going to have to repent to go to heaven. It won't make a bit of difference if they sit down every Sunday morning in the church of Christ. If they're in adultery, they're going to have to repent to be saved. The same way with homosexuality or any other sin. I ask you, so that you can be saved, repent of this sin. Change. Do like the Corinthians did in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. It says they were homosexuals, past 10. Now they're sanctified. Now they're washed because they quit the sin. They quit the practice. Were forgiven of their sins.